In Katie Cotugno's novel, How to Love, we're told an unconventional love story about what happens when the love of your life disappears and how that love is then transferred and transformed into a new kind of love for the daughter that you're left with. Cotugno beautifully weaves between the past and present as we find out how a single teenage parent tries to claim back her life and voice.
I felt like I had two distinct stories that I wanted to tell, and they both kind of had these separate arcs to them, and it just felt, for me, like the more interesting way to write them was to do a before and after so that I could kind of figure out what happened. You know, I didn't know exactly how each of them was going to end as I got started, so it was kind of fun for me to be able to unravel them in the before and after.
So you wrote them in order that we read it?
I did, yeah.
Really?
I did. I switched back and forth.
Oh, that must have been fun.
It was. It was exciting for me. I knew kind of where I wanted to go, but I wasn't sure at all in before or after how I was going to get there.
Right. That's what I'm thinking. I mean, it must be hard because you are writing two separate stories at once and just flip-flopping back and forth rather than being able to concentrate on the one storyline and then the later storyline.
You know, it sort of made it more interesting for me just to kind of fit them together like puzzle pieces. The way that things happened in the before would kind of inform what happened in the after. So it was fun to kind of try and get them to line up that way.
And then Rena is such... God, she's had it bad. The poor girl. I mean, there's no other
she's
way
had
to put it.
She's had a tough go of it, for sure.
She really has. She's a teenage mother. Now she's 18, but she was pregnant at 16. Mm-hmm. And then the guy just disappeared. And she never heard from him again. And she really did love him. She's loved him her entire life since she was a little kid.
Yeah, they've had a sort of, it's been a long time coming for both of them, certainly. And Sawyer, to his credit, doesn't know that she's pregnant when he sort of disappears. But I don't think that necessarily matters to Rena when he comes back. You know, he's got a lot of explaining to do.
Right. It's been 2 years. I mean, He's been gone for 2 years, 2 years of heartache and finally being able to move forward and just say, you know what, forget you. I can be the best mom and best person without you. I don't need you.
Yeah, you know, I think that she spent a lot of time kind of trying to put the pieces of her life back together, and it certainly doesn't look the way that she thought that her life at 18 would look. She wanted to be a travel writer. She wanted to go all these places. She was going to go to Northwestern in Chicago and do all these amazing things, and now she's sort of wound up, you know, she's stuck at home in Florida. She's living at home with her parents, you know, who aren't crazy about her or her situation, and, you know, she's waiting tables, and she's going to community college, and just nothing has really sort of turned out like she's planned, but she is sort of trying to make the best of it. She loves her daughter. She's in love with her daughter, and she's just sort of, you know, she's sort of put the pieces back together for herself, and Sawyer is not necessarily welcome at all when he first returns.
I would so want to punch him. I mean, that's just one of those things when you see somebody that's been gone for 2 years, you have been left with this almost impossible situation because they're a Catholic family.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they're understanding enough that they didn't kick her out of the house, they didn't disown her, and that she is still living under her parents' roof with Hannah, her daughter.
Right.
But at the same time, there's a great word that you use throughout the book, and that's penance. And how much does she have to pay? And how long does she have to be held accountable for these actions that she had at 16? Will they ever forgive her?
Yeah. And that's, Rena is certainly the one, you know, she's borne the brunt of this absolutely for the last 2 years. I mean, Sawyer's been off doing God knows what. And Rena's the one who's really been dealing with the consequences of this decision or of her actions and of Sawyer's actions as well. And I mean, her family, they're not, you know, I really wanted to show that, I mean, they're a real family. They're not demons. They're not, you know, they're not horrible, horrible parents, but they certainly don't approve of her decision. And, you know, they love her and they're going to take care of her as best they can, but you know, they're not happy about it for sure.
And the relationship that she has with Soledad, who is her stepmother, but I mean, for all intents and purposes, I mean, it is her mother. She can go to her for guidance. Soledad holds her when she's crying. You know, I mean, she is her mother. So that dynamic of Soledad kind of being caught in the middle, like any mother would be, of how the father's reaction is, because obviously he wants to kill Sawyer for doing this to his little girl. But at the same time, he is really holding Rena accountable for these actions.
Yeah, I think Soledad is definitely caught in the middle. I mean, she is Rena's ally. She loves Rena. They're super close. But I think there is also that moment towards the end of the book, right before that dinner that you mentioned, where she kind of senses that things are happening between Rena and Sawyer again. And she's like, hey, you know, don't mess this up again. You know, you've just gotten your life back on track. You know, you can't be doing this.
Right. Everybody is so scared now that Sawyer is back of what is going to happen. Because they were there. They saw how shattered she was. How she had to give up all of her dreams because she wanted to keep Hannah and be her mother. And so she wanted to travel the world. All these plans that we see in the before portions of working so hard and just really, I mean, she's kind of socially inept as well.
Yeah.
At that point, you know, I mean,
she's a shy girl.
Right. She isn't your typical teenage girl.
Mm-hmm.
We see her now, obviously she was forced to grow up, but all those dreams that she had of traveling, all those posters on the wall and maps and everything, and you just feel, you feel so much empathy for her because she had to give this up and you want her to be able to go and do all those things.
I think that, you know, traveling and going away to school and she was going to graduate early, all those things were kind of Rena's escape hatch. You know, she didn't have a ton of friends. She wasn't popular, and that was, you know, she was going to get out, so it was going to be okay. But yeah, now she's kind of stuck.
And she's also stuck in this, well, she's also gone through a lot of changes because her best friend died, and now we have the befores of how their friendship started to dissolve, even though they've known each other since they were little kids. Mm-hmm. But how it started to dissolve before Rena became pregnant, and then that guilt that she has because she could never reconcile with Allie before it happened.
Yeah, I think that's one of the hardest things for Rena, is that, you know, this unfinished business with Allie. I think that when you're best friends with someone for so long, even if you have a ridiculous fight, there's always that feeling in the back of your mind, like, eventually we'll figure this out, you know, down the road, we'll make up, we'll see each other out, we'll see each other somewhere, and this will kind of all sort itself out just because, you know, you've been a part of my life for so long. And I don't really know what my life looks like without you. So eventually, of course, you know, you think that this will all sort of resolve itself. And I think that that's a really hard thing for Rena. The chance that, you know, she's never going to have that chance to fix things with Allie.
Right. And it's the same way with Sawyer. She loses Allie, and then all of a sudden she loses Sawyer. And she's just left there by herself at 16. And I mean, she really has been dealt a rotten hand.
Yeah, she's got it tough for sure. And I think that one of the things, you know, I think a criticism of Rena that comes up in the book is that she's sort of an ice queen and she's sort of hard to get to know. But, you know, you have to kind of reconcile that with the fact that she has been left so many times in her life. And so it's made her more self-reliant. It's made her a little bit colder, I think.
But one person she can definitely rely on is Shelby, who is also a waitress at the restaurant and who has befriended her and helped her along to make sure that she just didn't stay at the bottom and just feel sorry for herself, but, you know, go to community college, be with people who are more your age instead of adults or infants.
Yeah, Shelby is a lot of fun to write as a character, and she's a cheerleader for Rena for sure.
While all this is going on, Sawyer's disappeared. His family is so tied to Rena's family because they own a restaurant together.
Yeah, those families are super intertwined, and they've owned this business together for Rena's whole life. And so it's not like, I mean, she's seeing them every day. They're coming, you know, their parents are close friends, and the parents are still seeing each other on the weekends, and they see each other at the restaurant. And so it's not even, you know, like, there's no escape for her, for Rena at all. You know, she's facing these guys every day, and they're not, you know, they're not crazy about her either.
Right, exactly. They feel the same way about Rena that her parents feel about Sawyer. And so it's so unfortunate, though, as you have this beautiful little girl that we get to know in all of these after sections, that they want nothing to do with her.
Yeah. I think that she's, you know, Hannah, Sawyer and Rena's daughter, is for Sawyer's parents, I mean, is, you know, a reminder every day of, you know, one, Sawyer's actions, and two, you know, the fact that he's gone. And, you know, he worked on Rena, but he disappeared on his family as well.
You would think that they would want something to hold on to that was Sawyer, because he is an only child, and he was, you know, he is the prodigal son, even though he was a total screw-up about almost everything, and the father and mother were at their wits' end, but at the same time, you'd think they'd want to have something that they could hold on to.
I think it's painful for them, though, to have that reminder all the time, to be staring in the face every day.
that's true, because here is, this is what my son did, and he totally abandoned.
I mean, it's a reminder of, you know, Sawyer, especially in the before section, Sawyer's not, I mean, you know, I made him up, so I love him, but he's not a great guy at the beginning. He's got a lot of growing up to do. He's got a lot of learning to do. And that's sort of the challenge in the after sections of, you know, he has to take responsibility for himself, and he has to take responsibility for Hannah. And, you know, he kind of has to prove to Rena that, you know, he's grown up. He's you know, he's ready to handle all this stuff now, and he deserves her, and he deserves Hannah.
And I do that just because you're absolutely right, because as we want to see them end up together. We absolutely do. But at the same time, when we're reading those before sections, I'm thinking, mm-hmm. man, you totally don't deserve them at all. The way that you're treating Rena and anybody else that's around, or just like any of the girls that he was dating at the time. And you're thinking, man, what on earth? And then, you know, for Rena, it's the boy that she's loved ever since she was a little kid.
I think that, I mean, at least in my experience, you know, when you have feelings for someone like that when you're 16, you sort of, the badness sort of fades into the background, you know. And I think that Sawyer is, he's, you know, he's handsome, he's charming, he can be really fun. And he can kind of turn, you know, that smile on you when you think that you're the most special girl in the whole world. And the bad stuff does sort of recede into the background, for Rena at least. But yeah, objectively, he's, you know, he's kind of a jerk. A charming jerk, hopefully, but, you know, a jerk.
Right. She's so worried that she just is one of his groupies. And then that's it. He'll move on to the next person and she'll be left devastated.
Yeah. And I mean, she's not wrong. That is that for her, that's, you know, it feels like that's what's happened. There are those long 2 years where for her, that is exactly what happened.
Well, it is a really wonderful story. The name of the book is How to Love. Katie, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Again, the name of Katie Cotugno's novel is How to Love. It is published by Bowser and Bray. And you can meet Cotugno this Sunday, March 2nd, at Oblong Books in Rhinebeck, New York. Hey!